Today's the day the White House asked agencies to submit their framework implementation action plans for the Trump administration's executive order on cybersecurity. What's new is having an agency executive responsible for all of the metrics and the addition of risk management. Joining me with more detail, Tom Jones, federal systems engineer at Bay Dynamics. And Tom, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
And in working with federal agencies, what is it you're finding they find that they need to add to these reports relative to the old FISMA reports?
Well, they're looking more of a risk-based metric. So they're actually trying to align these with the NIST cybersecurity framework. So it takes a little bit of doing, and also has you had to have a deeper understanding of what assets you have in the environment. They're trying to now figure out what's there and where the dark spots are.
And how do they go about doing that?
Well, some of them better than others, truth be told. Generally, it's a paperwork process where they'll go through and they'll do audits of their environment. Some have tools that they can use to help them, but quite often the tools are just join it. So they'll end up touching multiple places within their environment to try to pull back the information.
So they have to know what their assets are, and how does that map to risk management then?
Well, it's knowing what your assets are and knowing the value behind the asset. So if I have a mission-critical application, I have to designate it a mission-critical application. And then I have to know every component of that application, what systems go into it, what software is involved in it, and what are the supporting systems that are associated with it. Once I've mapped that out, then I can actually say that, you know, this asset has a fairly high value. And when threatened by a threat or vulnerability in the environment, it can have a fairly high risk associated with it.
They have to kind of list their applications and other assets in some sort of priority order based on how risky or how risk averse they should be.
Yeah, and that's certainly part of it. And then there's also the listing processes they have around mitigation and processes they have around things like PIV compliance and training and how to actually go back and view the technology and update the technology and patch it. So it all that's part of the newest FISMA implementation that's due today. And that comprises the metrics along with the other thing that's due today is the framework plan, where agencies need to actually tell Homeland Security how they intend to align with the cybersecurity framework, NIST 800-37 and 800-39.
Now, getting back to the metrics under just the old FISMA reporting, what are the chief ones there?
It's hard to say the chief ones. FISMA has grown over the years. I remember not too many years ago, it was purely a metric spreadsheet where you could go down by operating system, by application. All of that's still there. What has changed, and it changed, I guess, in about 2015, is they started moving it towards more of a, do you have these processes in place? Do you have, are you compliant with these memorandums? So it started pulling in a greater scope of cybersecurity to give a better view of cybersecurity. And then this year, it's made a major shift towards moving towards a risk-based management approach. So it's looking for, all right, have you identified the greatest risks in your environment, and what are you doing to actually mitigate those risks?
We're speaking with Tom Jones. He's federal systems engineer for Bay Dynamics. So I guess under the old way, every application, no matter how minor, could be treated the same way for purposes of reporting, and then no one could really have a sense of whether the critical parts of the environment were in fact protected properly.
Absolutely, and that was one of the major shortcomings with it. And we found that people actually managed security that way as well under the old model, where you would have a high critical vulnerability or a high critical threat, and people would actually go to mitigate those, even on systems that had very low value, where they would ignore the medium-level threats because of lack of resources on high-value assets.
And how has the cloud implementation affected all of this?
Now, cloud's thrown a new twist into it. So being aware of where your assets are and how they're being managed has always been a challenge. And it certainly increases when you actually push it out to the cloud. There's different ways to look into the cloud, and there's different amount of information you can actually get from a cloud-based application based on things like who's hosting it and how much insight you can actually pull from your hosting provider in terms of log files and security information.
Because if you have a critical, say, nationwide application, it's likely that if you're in the cloud, you are having many instances of it in virtual machines. It might be, you know, controlled by some sort of a content delivery system nationwide. And so you really have to know a lot about your assets because there are so many scattered ones when it is cloud and virtualized, correct?
Absolutely. And that's really the hard part of meeting today's deadline, knowing the environment and knowing where everything lies and knowing the general configuration and management processes associated with it.
What can agencies do to make sure their cloud providers give them the information relevant to these reports?
Generally, that would be part of the contract negotiation process. You would have to have that up front. I'm sure you can go back later and ask them for these information to make it part of renewal requirements. Most agencies are dealing with, Gov clouds and groups that have been FedRAMP certified. So there should be a certain awareness that these metrics have to be delivered. But again, it comes down to the agencies making the agreement with their cloud provider.
Earlier, you said some agencies are better at this than others with respect to the FISMA reportings and now the expanded reports due under the Trump administration executive order. What characterizes the ones that are good at it?
Ones that are good at it and have a process in place and have a good, firm understanding of at least their critical infrastructure, what makes up the critical apps, what makes up the truly mission-critical assets in their environment. They know what they are. There's no systems out there that they simply don't know about.
That means that they could answer the questions about them any day of the year, not just on the day the reports are due.
Right. And that's important. If you're going to manage based on risk, you need to have a continuous awareness of your assets and how they actually are being threatened, what threats are associated with them, and what vulnerabilities they may have.
And how much of this discovery, I guess you might call it, can be automated?
A great deal. We have tools in the environment now that allow us to discover the entire framework, to see who's talking to who, to see what applications are interacting with what. So mapping out your applications really can be done with technology. It's fairly straightforward. Agencies have more trouble with not the technical end of it, but the political portions of it. Who has access to what? Who's granting access to what? And what parts are playing where?
Well, that's something I guess you can't solve with an automation tool. That's something that people have to agree to do, I guess.
Yeah, there has to be a push from above is what I've seen. My experience tells me if you have a strong person pushing down certain requirements, you can actually get these things done. But it does take a concerted effort from the top.
Tom Jones is a federal systems engineer at Bay Dynamics. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.